When you make it, you shouldn't worship it. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, a program that isn't designed for nice Christians doing nice things for God and helping you to be nicer. This is Bible teaching for real living. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Ezekiel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. We're up to the book of Ezekiel, and we're looking at that section in Ezekiel. And it's not all this way. You know, some books of the Bible, I say, don't read for your evening devotions. I'll keep you awake all night. And you shouldn't read certain books of the Bible because they're really, really harsh. Read them in the morning, and then you can deal with it during the day. But Ezekiel's not that way. But I would suggest that chapters 4 through 24 are not appropriate reading for evening devotions. And I would suggest also that chapters 25 through 32 are not appropriate for evening devotions. But I would suggest that chapters 1 through 3 and chapters 33 through 48 are appropriate for evening devotions. Now, we're looking at that section that is not appropriate for evening devotions. And if you're listening on a station where this broadcast is heard at night, sorry as I can be. So if I were you, I'd turn over and listen to some soft Christian music on another station. At any rate, we're looking at some of the things, some of the reasons that God is angry at Jerusalem. Now, we saw yesterday in the 10th chapter, or last week, or the first part of the week, that Jesus can leave the temple and destroy it just as the glory left the temple in Ezekiel 10. Then we saw the three reasons, or we've seen two of them, we're going to get a third one today, three reasons that God is angry at Jerusalem. The first is Ezekiel 12, and it was their unbelief. We talked a long time about that, talked about belief and faith being a gift of God. And then we saw yesterday that the people in Jerusalem had been listening to false prophets, and God was not happy with that. Ezekiel's imagery is so in your face. It's so real that you can close your eyes and you can picture this very religious television evangelist or radio Bible teacher who says God instead of God, and who says, "I thus says God." And God says, "I didn't say that." And Ezekiel says, "Woe be unto those prophets who falsify their prophecy and hope that what they're saying is true." Let me tell you something. When I teach on this broadcast, I don't hope that what I'm teaching is true. I mean, I don't stay awake at night saying, "I hope that was true." You know why? Because I do not share my particular views on this broadcast, even though they're better than yours. That's a joke. Don't write me letters. But I do have great political views, and I have great sociological views. I have studied philosophy extensively, and I wish God would let me share some of these views with you, because I'm quite opinionated. But I don't hope what I teach you is true. It is true, because it's Scripture. All right, false prophets. And then there's a third one. I'm going to talk to you about that today. Maybe we'll move on to what Ezekiel teaches about individualism. And you, who are Americans, are going to like that. At any rate, the 14th chapter of Ezekiel, verses 1 through 5, the third reason that God is angry at Jerusalem. Now, I'm starting at the first verse of the 14th chapter. "Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Shall I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols." Whoa. "That I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols." I have a friend who says, and I half agree, that idolatry is the basis for all sin. Now, I do believe that unbelief is the basis of all sin, but there's a sense in which idolatry is the basis of all sin. You say, well, I smoke, but idolatry is not my sin. Man, I've had to do something about my addictions, but idolatry is not my sin. I mean, I sometimes lie a little bit, but idolatry is not my sin. I mean, I do some bad things, and I'm not as nice to my wife or my husband as I ought to be, but idolatry isn't my sin. Well, in the sense that you haven't created a statue, done some kind of hocus-pocus over it, put it on an altar with a candle on each side of it and knelt down and worshipped it, that's true. You haven't committed idolatry. But idolatry goes a lot deeper than that. What do you read about in this chapter in Ezekiel that deals with idolatry? What does it say? Son of man, these men and women, parenthetically, have set up their idols not on an altar in a false temple, but in their hearts. Do you do that sometimes? Now, frankly, can we talk? Most everybody who's listening to this broadcast now is a believer. I mean, this is not the kind of thing that pagans listen to very often. I mean, I'd like to say that we have thousands saved and hundreds healed every broadcast, but the truth is most of the people who listen to this broadcast are saved. Now, if you're a pagan and you're flipping across the dial and you heard this foghorn voice and you went, whoa, sounds reasonable, but what he's saying is crazy, then listen to something else or get it straight with God, because what I teach is mostly for God's people. And so we as Christians, as believers, have a particular form of idolatry in our hearts. And you know what it is? It's religious stuff. You say what? It's religious stuff. You know, you can make an idol out of your church. You can make an idol out of being pure and righteous. You can make an idol out of religion. Sometimes religion itself becomes the thing that keeps us from God. Are you worshiping worship? Are you worshiping God? I mean, do you think that if you do a lot of religious stuff, that's true religion? That's idolatry. What do you believe? Who do you trust? Where do you go? Who loves you? Who do you worship? Do you worship God, or do you worship some form of God that somebody told you about? Do you worship the true God of the universe, or you just use religious words? That's called idolatry. Now, we're usually not idolaters about other things, although sometimes we struggle with money. Sometimes we struggle with stuff. Sometimes we struggle with a person we love very much. But for those of us who are Christians, our idolatry often comes from our religion. And you got to watch it all the time. I teach at a theological seminary. I mean, can you go to a graduate school in America other than a theological seminary where everybody talks about God all of the time? Man, that ought to be a really religious place. But even Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, where I teach, which is particularly more religious than most other theological seminaries, and more spiritual and more committed, of course, because, well, it just is. But we still get angry at each other. We still fight like cats and dogs. It means that we're worshiping somebody other than God. It starts with idolatry, and sometimes we worship theology books or a particular doctrinal position. I get a question from a lot of you guys sometimes that ask why Calvinists are so mean. I don't know. But they can be. If you've ever been attacked by a Reformed Calvinist, man, get out of the way, because they are a mean bunch of people, and I'm one of those. But when you see that happening, you know that something has been put in the place of a God who calls his people to love his people. Generally, it's a theological position. Those of you who are Arminian, or dispensationalist, or Lutheran, and I could go down the list, you do the same thing. You know, you start fighting for your position, then you kill a Christian for Jesus, and you're doing it for God. What is that? That's idolatry. And that's exactly what Ezekiel is talking about in this chapter. He says, son of man, these men and women and theologians and pastors and Christians have set up their idols in their hearts. Well, enough on that. Let me at least go on this week, and we'll talk more about it next week. But let's move on to another one of the sites on our tour of the book of Ezekiel. If you have your Bible, open it to the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. Remember when the blind man who had been blind from birth was encountered by Jesus, and the disciples said, "Who did wrong, this man, or was it his parents?" And Jesus had got it all wrong. This was done so that God would be glorified. Well, in the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, you can understand that Jesus was not saying anything different than what had been said in the Old Testament, particularly in the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. Now, I was going to read some of it, but I'm going to wait until Monday to do that. But let me tell you what it says. It says, quit being a victim. It says, it's you. It's not your brother. It's not your sister. It's you. Standing in the need of prayer, personal and individual responsibility. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. When you give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box, 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you email us at steve@keylife.org and ask to be a part of our Key Life Tape family. We'll do it for you. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. These are places where I teach the Bible, generally at the chapel at Reformed Theological Seminary where I teach. And you start getting a tape automatically every 7 or 8 weeks, and they keep coming as long as you want them, and they're absolutely free. So let us know. We'll make you a part of our Key Life Tape family. Hey, listen, if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. Pray about it. You can be a champion for a whole lot of other Christians. Only a very few people were ministered to by this ministry or able to help us financially. If you can, oh, man, I would sleep better. I would sure appreciate it. Be as generous as you can. You can charge it on MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching, Dealing with Fear. If you're sometimes afraid, this will help. Hey, listen, whenever you write or call, give us the call letters of this great station. And, oh, yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.